Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where people from the comedy world break down wrestling to an unhealthy degree. Every week on this podcast, I have a special guest from the comedy world, and this week is no exception. We have the best man at my wedding. Mm. I got to hit him with the most important credits first.
Yeah, that's unfortunately my biggest credit to date, is killing it at your wedding.
My best friend since I'm 5 years old.
That's my worst credit, I think.
And a terrific comedy writer, Mr. Jason Shabiro.
Thank you. Thank you, Daniel Black.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. I think another comedy slash wrestling credit of mine can be that I am one of the greatest players of WrestleMania 2000 for Nintendo 64.
That is true. And Revenge.
And NWO WCW Revenge. And No Mercy. Any THQ AKI engined N64 wrestling game, I was pretty much the
dominant. You were great. Yeah. I mean, you're great at N64 in general. There's only a disgusting degree.
That's true. There were only two people who could beat me in N64 wrestling games, but we trade. We go, basically, each of us would win a third of the time, and no one else in the world could beat any of us.
Yeah, and one of them is not alive.
One of them is no longer with us.
Anyway, RIP. Warrior Wing. couldn't help it. Anyway, hey, before we move on, we got a lot of hot wrestling action to get
hot
into.
Goss.
There's a lot to cover. There's always a lot to cover now, which I'm sure we will cover, that there is a lot to cover. is that rate and subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends. You know your friend is like loves wrestling. Tell them to listen to the podcast. Give us 5 stars. We deserve it. You have been doing it. But more people are listening than actually doing this step. So show me some respect for once, you know. All right, let's get into all the hot wrestling action.
Hot Krebs,
TLC, did you like it? Did you not like it?
I found TLC to be crazy, sexy, and cool. it was fine pay-per-view.
I think you watched the wrong thing. What did you watch?
I listened to the 1994 best-selling album. Multi-platinum album Crazy Sexy Cool by TLC.
Oh my god. The main event was Waterfalls.
The main event was Creep, actually. Yeah. But the co-main was Waterfalls. No, I watched TLC. I thought, look, it was a fine pay-per-view. It wasn't a bad pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But I can't give anything more than like a B, you know, minus or a B or something, because the pay-per-views have become meaningless, right? There's one every 2 weeks.
There's a lot of pay-per-views. Also, this is not the time of year that you normally dig wrestling.
Traditionally, this is my off-season. I think wrestling doesn't have an off-season, but I do.
Yeah.
It's just too much to do, you know, no other sport or sports entertainment, or entertainment for that matter. No TV, no entertaining TV shows, you know, go 24/7.
Yeah.
No sports seasons goes 24/7. I mean, by 24/7, I mean 365. Sorry.
Yeah.
And so traditionally between SummerSlam and Royal Rumble, I'm out. I'm not really paying attention. That's my summer vacation.
Yeah.
And to be quite honest, that's like some of the worst shit that happens anyway. No one cares about Survivor Series.
Like now, a lot of awesome shit is going down in this season.
I guess.
Yeah, I've been known to take a dip out.
Yeah.
At this point in time, and part of the reason I do this podcast is so I can't dip.
Right.
No dipping. Even when life hands me lemons. But I really dug this pay-per-view, and I'm going to say this. So the past 2 weeks, I believe, I've recorded the podcast on Wednesdays, and then I've taken a dip of, I record it like 1 o'clock, I watch Raw, then I watch SmackDown. If there's a pay-per-view, I don't think I've watched this pay-per-view Raw and then SmackDown. I don't think I've ever done that dip, but this week I watched it all when it was happening.
Right.
And I enjoyed it significantly more.
Yeah.
Watching live and watching them one day at a time.
Yeah.
But it's almost not realistic to every Monday have nothing to do at night, or even you have to get home with 3 hours before you're going to sleep.
Ugh.
If you have anything to do, I do stand up comedy,
right?
So it makes it tough.
I think they're trying to make their fans bigger parodies than they are. Like they're trying to make us all huge losers. Like WWE wants us to every Monday do nothing at night except for watch this shit for 3 hours, and then every Tuesday do nothing except for watch this shit for 2 hours, and then every Wednesday watch NXT and now 205 yeah. Live for 2 hours.
I've already decided 205 Live, it's not going
to
happen.
I'm telling you right now, I will vow to you, I will never watch an episode of that show. As much as the Cruiserweight division is very exciting and I love it,
yeah,
I don't have time for that. I don't even watch NXT anymore, and I loved NXT.
Yeah, I've been dipping into NXT like... I'm watching Shinsuke Joe matches, and that's really it.
How those guys doing? How's NXT doing?
Actually, the matches are great, but every time I watch them, I'm so exhausted from
Monday and Tuesday. Yeah, from Monday. The doubleheader you just
I don't have to look. A lot of you at home, you got the luxury. You listen to this podcast, you listen to it Sunday night. Maybe some of you guys tell me you're catching up on the podcast. If I want to do this, I got to do, and I do it for you. And you can't even rate and subscribe to this.
Wait a second. These people haven't even rated and subscribed to this?
It's ridiculous.
Well, I have right mind to leave right now.
Yeah, I gotta call the warden about this. Anyway, cool. Actually, you know what? You know, the other thing that wrestling, they're trying to steal all of our time. Yeah. And now we're having an NXT invasion of the government.
Wait, what?
we're having an invasion.
Yeah.
Linda McMahon is invading the government.
Yeah, she is. Linda McMahon is
Linda
is
McMahon.
Invading.
Okay, now, this is really interesting. I don't know why I went to TLC before this.
I think you started being like, what do you think of TLC? We both said like, well, we liked it. They're like, cool. Now we're off.
I actually really dug TLC. But
well, let's get this McMahon story
first.
This
literally just broke on my train ride into Manhattan here at Sears. We're recording at Sirius XM Studios because we're Sirius X-Men. And Linda McMahon, Trump, in a true WWE Hall of Famer fashion, has named Linda McMahon to be she's the head
of the SBA,
the Small Business Administration.
Yeah, she's the Brigadier General of the Small Business Association.
Yeah, so
that's the actual term for it.
Now, I think that maybe she should be head of the Big Business Administration.
Well, look, on paper, right?
Yeah.
If you just looked at this appointment, it makes sense.
Okay.
WWE was a 13-person company at some point.
Right.
And her husband grew it. She was the CEO at some point. She's been on the board. Her and Vince grew this mom-and-pop business to a billion-dollar corporation in, you know, the course of 15, 20 years. So who better to talk about business and business growth for small businesses than a woman like Linda McMahon?
So I heard this news. I overheard this news.
Yeah.
Other people talking about it, like, can you believe Trump is, you know, I'm in New York City right now.
Right.
Can you believe Trump would name WWE? Like, this is getting crazier by the day.
Right.
And I immediately got defensive. I was like, Linda McMahon, I mean, she's running.
One of us.
Yeah. And now it's ultimately how worked am I getting? Am I actually getting worked? That is she literally behind the scenes? Like when she shows up on Raw, I always think it like she's busy doing other shit,
right?
And then she like makes an appearance here, but is she really doing like good work? I know she runs for office a lot.
She ran for Senate at least once, maybe twice.
Yeah,
failed.
Two times definitely.
Put a lot of her own money. Didn't have to raise money for it because they're so rich.
Right.
I don't know how much she's. Does at WWE still? I think not much. If anything, it's a business side.
Right.
Like she's not involved in the creative or anything like that. But she was. She was the CEO at some point. Like she, and not just in the storyline, not just when like her and Shane and Stephanie and Vince were vying for control of the company. Like she actually ran the company with Vince for a while. So look,
yeah,
in New York, it's very anti-Trump. We're not Trump country, which is what I wish the whole country was called. But in New York, people will say how it is crazy. But you kind of want to say, hey, she does have a lot of knowledge about growing small business. So that makes sense. But then you want to say, oh, she also gave $5 million to Donald Trump's campaign. So like she kind of probably, in all reality, did buy this position.
She definitely bought this. This is a clear favorite.
As much as I think she's probably somewhat qualified,
listen to this.
She bought this position.
This isn't a quote. This is just a line from the article. It says, Trump's announcement said McMahon would be a key player in his effort to generate stronger job growth and roll back federal regulations. I mean, I don't know. Donald Trump and the McMahons are the two originators of the term "you're fired," and they're also
fired.
And they're in charge of job growth.
And that's my Linda impression. Look, Vince McMahon is not so different from Donald Trump. The only difference is one of them is happy to just stay in the carnival sideshow that is wrestling, and the other one is now the fucking president. So, or the president-elect.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Well, whatever.
I love it. Oh, man. Donald Trump, he throws every quote you read of his says tremendous. Sometimes.
He's a tremendous speaker. He gives tremendous quotes. He gives tremendous sound bites.
Linda has a tremendous background and is widely recognized as one of the country's top female executives advising businesses around the globe.
Yeah, all the businesses around the globe. When Shane was selling Chinese TVs.
Yeah. Well, she advises a couple things. Raw, SmackDown. Since the brand split, that's two companies right there.
Yeah,
she's NXT.
Big.
All right. I mean, I actually think she's qualified to be. I'm going to put myself on the line. Like, I'm like, Linda McMahon is. I think she's more qualified than Ben Carson.
I'll say she's more qualified to do her job than Donald Trump is to do his job.
That is fact. Anyway. All right. Well,
back to TLC.
Yeah, back to TLC.
Let's stop talking
all right,
about things.
So, a couple
important.
Things to fall out of TLC. So, I think that the. I really enjoyed it. I'm really excited for. The thing that actually coming out of it, I was the most excited about is Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton tag team.
Yeah, but that was kind of going on, right?
Yeah, it was. It's been going on. They've been part of it, but it was kind of weird how it started. But then just like the legitimacy of like those two having the belts, and then on SmackDown, Bray had him and the Sister Abigail, yeah. And they just passed.
I think they did that on TLC too. Like the finish it's, as a tag team finisher, it's a little bit wonky.
They didn't do the same thing. It was slightly different
because there's no damage that he's doing. You know, he just holds him for Sister Abigail and then just tosses
it's
him.
It's more of a sign of respect. It's like, yeah, hit him with your move.
Right.
But he gets the kiss in. He still right. gets to get a little kiss.
The only real, if you're talking about why this is a tag team finisher, the yeah. only finishing move contribution by Bray is he gives a sweet little kiss on your forehead, which, by the way, is probably very, you know, traumatizing, has emotional impact, certainly, and then the RKO with the physical impact.
So yeah. I mean,
from both ends.
You're getting kissed against your will by a
fat,
scary man.
With a white guy with dreadlocks, which is traumatic.
Yeah.
It's tremendous. Tremendously traumatic. Here's the thing that I like about Bray and Randy together.
Yeah.
Is
Brandy.
Wow. They should start calling them Brandy.
Well, the boy's mine.
Wow. They should start saying that. Instead of we're here going, the boy is mine. Charlotte. Oh, I guess that could be a wrestler. Hold on. Yeah. Rally. The boy is mine. All right, whatever. Look, here's what I like about it is that Bray Wyatt, the worst thing about him is that he only loses big matches, doesn't win belts, and is just, they set him up for fucking nothing.
This is his first belt,
this
by the way.
This is the first time they're actually setting him up and doing something with him, where they just talk about how he's so frightening and so powerful, but this is the only time they're actually justifying that or validating that with wins.
Yeah.
And if that comes with this weird duo with Randy Orton, which who knows if I feel all the way behind it, the fact that it's getting him some fucking V's on pay-per-views and actually becoming a force to be reckoned with, that I think is very awesome.
You know what I dig? I like Luke Harper holding the belt.
I mean, that guy doesn't need to be in the company as far as I'm concerned.
You know, I like Luke Harper as a wrestler. He's definitely struggled to get some footing. I understand the criticism.
Yeah.
But he is like a good wrestler.
He's a good wrestler.
Yeah.
He's a good big man. And yeah. I got to be honest, Eric Rowan grew on me too. Like, he's not a bad wrestler for a big guy. Like,
well,
he
that makes one of us, Eric Rowan.
I'm saying for what he is. Like, but to be fair, though, I loved seeing Rowan and Harper together behind Bray. That was a really cool look.
Yeah.
With just Harper, I'm kind of like, all right, what do we need this fucking guy for?
I have a really small thing is that Randy Orton, he's wearing his like classic like American Apparel hoodie that's just cut off.
Yeah.
I feel like
the Cobra's hood.
Yeah, the Cobra hood. He's wearing the like Cobra bully hood.
Yeah.
And I feel like he could change it. He shouldn't be full on Wyatt.
Yeah.
But it's a little too Ziggler-y. Like, I think he needs, maybe if it was just leather, like, this is a small thing where it takes me out, when they're all standing together,
right.
It takes me out of it that he's wearing something that's so cash.
Well, you know what it looks like to me? He looks very comic booky in a cool way.
Yeah. Like, oh, he looks great.
Randy Orton's the best looking guy. And actually, this is what
tremendous
we should talk about.
Tremendous looking guy.
Here's
tremendous.
What we need to talk about. Forget all that, because when I was choking down SmackDown, the one fucking breath of fresh air, I didn't notice it during TLC, and I haven't noticed in the weeks.
You're doing the Trump fingers, by you're doing the Trump okay sign, by the way.
Trump hand gestures.
The okay Trump sign.
But what I noticed with the song is a very cool mashup of the
two. Oh, yeah.
With a great, like,
both of his songs.
That's what I was going to say to you.
Yeah.
For Randy Orton's clip that they use into the Bray Wyatt theme song, they start with the Burn in My Light, like, yeah. Like the original Randy Orton.
Right before it's going to go, hey!
It goes,
I have voices.
Which is great. I think it's a fantastic match.
Let's see who can sing that better.
It's definitely going to be you. I heard what you were working with was great.
Wait, no, I forgot. No, I just did Ambrose by accident. I just did Ambrose. I hear voices in my head.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm going to beat you because you missed one crucial part.
Oh, damn it.
But let me try mine. This is going to be the original Randy Orton opening riff into the I Hear Voices, into the Bray. Yeah. Bray. I hear voices. Ha!
Bow, oh, now, yeah, now, you win.
Bow, now, 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 bow.
You forgot the classic Wyatt family. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. As always, this podcast is completely derailed. And we're on an actual time constraint this time. All right. I'm sorry. This podcast, I'd say about this podcast, gets caught up in the most minutia, the most wrestling minutia.
You should bill it as such. Like, this is the wrestling podcast where we talk about the small, the stuff of the least import.
This is the Seinfeld wrestling. Of wrestling podcasts.
Well, I know that we talk a lot about wardrobe here.
Yeah, more than anybody.
This is, you could be, look, it's hard to stand out in the world of wrestling podcasts. You know, ever since Rosenberg and yeah. Shoemaker did a brand split, and now they made two podcasts where yeah. they only needed
one.
It's
hard to stand out.
Hard to stand out. But if you corner the market and become the podcast that discusses the outfits of wrestlers only,
yeah,
could be something.
The fashion place, will it be the Brizongo?
That's another thing that I'm really into. But
it's so good. They give out tickets. Oh, it's so
amazing. Dear. We got to get this thing back on track. All right, man.
All right. Alexa TLC. Bliss. Alexa Bliss wins the championship. I called it on last week's podcast. I did kind of like half call it. I was like, that was my prediction.
Right.
But I was like, because I want it to happen, I'm not sure that it's going to happen.
Right.
But I think they made the right call for a lot of reasons. One reason is that the way she won is like kind of eked out a win.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's a table match?
It was a tables match, which what I will say, on the TLC and all the offerings, the tables match is actually the stupidest one because you only can throw them through one table and then it's over.
Right.
So it's like not really a hardcore. It doesn't have that. It's just the finish is going to have a table. And the whole match, you're just like, oh, are they going to go through that table or are they going to go through this table? And it's not like
sure, but I did think the spot where Becky was going to throw Alexa through the table and then while she was up on her shoulders, used her hand to flip the table.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
I thought that was a cool spot.
That was cool. But
the
like,
stakes of going through a table being high, I kind of dig.
I like it too, but you know how the match is going to end. Like, you know someone's going through a table. That's the end.
Yeah.
You also know there will be no other table spots, whereas in a ladder match or a chair match or a TLC match, there's tons of spots involving this.
Sure,
item.
But the way that ended, I didn't see that coming. That came out of nowhere.
I didn't see it coming.
So I thought that they found a way to make it interesting. You know what I mean?
Sure. I don't hate it.
The argument is valid. Bro.
I'm just saying it's my least of the T, the L, and the C matches.
Yeah.
And the TLC, all three match. The T match is my least favorite match.
Sure.
They did great work with chairs in this pay-per-view.
Do you miss the stairs matches? They used to have the stairs matches.
What were the stairs
They had,
matches?
Like, a couple of years ago, they had a stairs match.
Like the steel steps?
Yeah.
But you could use those in a regular match, and it's not illegal.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
Can we talk about the rules there? How come you can't use
that one is if you go up the stairs, then you win.
No.
If you go up.
I'm saying, in any match, you can't hit someone with a chair or any foreign object, but if you undo the steel steps a little bit and fucking hit somebody with it or throw their head into it, that's not a foreign object.
If you hit them with the stairs,
I think
if you hit them with the stairs, you might get disqualified, but you're allowed to throw them into the stairs.
I feel like I've seen it both ways. Who knows? All right, but
I think you might be right. I don't know. Anyway.
Sorry, Alexa Bliss. We're talking.
Alexa Bliss. So here's the thing. I love Alexa Bliss.
I love her.
I mean, she... All right, here's my couple bullet points. All right. She's an example of the NXT system working to like a T. Like,
yes,
she's
I
like,
agree.
I think part of the thing is like, I don't even love her gimmick that much. I think she's pretty good heel. We'll get into it. What I like about it is like how much of a heel she is. She's like extreme asshole. I like that, but I'm not sure what she is. She was like Harley Quinn for a second. Like I'm not exactly sure what it is, but what I like about it is that I watched her come up from NXT and I see her progress and her trajectory where I'm almost like, yeah, she put the time in.
Right.
You can actually see somebody put the time in
And improve like almost month to month.
Yeah. So that something about that where you start feeling like proud for people like a band you followed from the indie scene.
Totally. And that it's awesome. Like a year or two ago, she was managing Blake and Murphy.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, who's that hot chick who's Blake and Murphy's manager?
Yeah, with those Aussies.
Yeah. Were they even Australian?
I think one of them's Australian.
Fuck them all. No, I think that's a different tag team. That's like the new guys. Who are just
no, playing. I think they're both. You're talking about TM61 or whatever?
Yeah, aren't those just Australian Blake and Murphy?
Whatever. Who cares?
Who cares?
No, Blake and Murphy, one of them's Australian, definitely.
Fine.
But yeah, right. She was just like, but so she still has like room to grow, but in ring, I really dig her. I like she's like really tiny. I saw her on Talking Smack crying.
Well, I think that's a separate.
Yeah.
What
do you think about Alexa Bliss? I'm cutting you off.
They don't even talk about that, how she's so small. She's like, she's 5'1".
Yeah.
She looks so tiny, and it's weird to not treat that like a Rey Mysterio or Daniel Bryan. Like, when she's fighting, you know, women like Becky Lynch, who are, like, pretty jacked. Not jacked, but, like, big for a girl. Like, it just looks funny to me to see Alexa, like, kick people's asses when she's so little, but she's really in shape.
And she does it in a really good way because she has, like, a lot of, like, she has, like, almost, like, Chung Li kind
of
moves, you know?
Not high-flying, but she's very, like, bouncing.
She's clearly, like, a gymnast.
She's like a kinetic gymnast.
Yeah.
I love
she's
that.
She's like a flyer, like a cheerleader flyer.
I think she was a D1 cheerleader, actually. But I love that move. It's when your opponent's on their floor, it's like she jumps. It's kind of like a knee-based senton where she does it forwards and then handsprings and does it backwards.
Yeah, so that's like great. That's my favorite move she does.
Very acrobatic, very cool to watch. She's got a great look. I mean, I think, unfortunately, because I'm still a fucking relic from a past age, I wonder if I give her a pass because she's like pretty, pretty cute.
Yeah.
But she's not, I don't think she's like the hottest woman I've ever seen, but she's like, she's a nice looking lady. She works her butt off. And I don't think she's as developed as some of these other characters.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's a fully realized. I think she's getting better and better all the time. But why they have to take chances like that on people is because, like, when they split those brands, like, what is the SmackDown division? SmackDown women's division.
Something? I think she's as developed as Becky Lynch to me.
Probably. Yeah. Becky's not super developed either.
Yeah.
Who's on SmackDown who's vying for this belt? It's Natty. Is it? I mean,
Nikki Bella,
Natty, Becky,
Carmella.
Carmella's a fucking joke. She's awful.
Yeah.
Like, she's the worst thing that they got going.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, the division is so thin that
Naomi,
like,
but she's not on TV.
The division is just so thin that, like, yeah, of course you got to give it to Alexa.
The women's division shouldn't be on two different TV shows.
Well, that's a tough part of the brand split is that, like, that doesn't have enough talent to sustain two separate rosters. However, it's a really bad look for a corporation to have a whole show where there's zero women competing. So, like, you kind of need to split it, and that's...
I just noticed her like improvement. I will say this: I've seen a couple posts that are like not happy about it, and knock Alexa Bliss for a reason that I think is so invalid.
Which is what?
And I think this is pretty much like this is like IWC thing basically.
You know, I'm gonna not like it.
Yeah, which is the argument that like, oh, she hasn't been wrestling that long, and like she like wasn't a wrestler and just came here. You know, just being like, she didn't have the full independent track.
Yeah, great.
And just being like, saying it was like kind of handed her because she doesn't have Becky Lynch's story.
Yeah, but like, who gives a shit?
Talent's talent, man.
Talent's talent.
And anyone who, if you work in any kind of field that recognizes talent, no one goes like, this guy worked for 10 years doing it. Like, that's totally cool. That's awesome. Like, the Kevin Owens story is dope.
Right.
Daniel Bryan story is dope. Everyone respects that. AJ Styles, we all respect that. But it doesn't mean there's not a place for a jacked football player who comes in and commits really hard and has a second act in his life.
Sure.
And, you know what I mean?
I will say this.
Like Goldberg.
I was going to bring up Goldberg because he's the guy that got some hate for, they would always make fun of his record. It was like 174-1 or whatever it was, or 173-0 at some point. And they'd be like, they're just like throwing in 25 victories from week to week.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Like, it didn't matter that you never heard of him 10 years ago. Like, it's even fucking cooler for someone to come out of nowhere and be awesome.
Yeah.
And I don't think Alexa Bliss is as awesome as Goldberg was, but she's definitely awesome enough to top a four-woman division.
For the record, we don't think Goldberg is, like, a great in-ring wrestler.
For the record, I think Bill Goldberg is one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Well, no, I
not in-ring, but not...
Yeah, I'm just saying in-ring.
But he had a moveset I would put him in the same camp as Brock Lesnar today, where it's like his in-ring is very good enough. It's stylistically interesting and defined, right? Goldberg's wrestling style is so well developed as a character.
Yeah.
Whereas like Brock Lesnar's moveset is a character, where like some people spend their whole career and can't have a defining characteristic to their wrestling style.
Yeah. Well, that is the whole thing with the Goldberg Lesnar match, is that no one contemplated that we might see a classic Goldberg squash.
Right, right.
Like, we're like, we won't see Goldberg do what he does. But then after the fact, I was like, it is so cool that Goldberg has a match, like, where you're like, a classic Goldberg match. Lesnar has a classic match. Yeah, I don't know. Goldberg's dope. Cool.
Like, no one's saying that he's AJ Styles.
Two Jews in here. No way we're going to knock Bill Goldberg.
Bill Goldberg is the goddamn...
Especially with a last name like Goldberg.
Didn't change it. It's amazing.
So he might as well be the kid sitting next to me in Hebrew school.
Dude, there's only one other Jewish wrestler who just let their freak flag fly with keeping that name,
yeah.
And that is Barry Horowitz. Everyone else has changed it from the Macho Man's to the fucking Ravens. He's the only guy who achieved any success keeping it.
All right, so let's get to the just for time.
All right, for time,
let's get to the Ellsworth screwdriver.
We want to talk about Alexa Bliss crying on.
Yes,
let's get to that. All right, so Alexa Bliss on.
I won't comment on it. Only you.
Look, it was fucking crazy because it's such a break from kayfabe because her thing is just being such a mean, like, bitchy asshole. That's like her gimmick, but. It was very cool to see her on Talking Smack.
She's bitchy and she's like disgusted by you, like other humans.
She's authentically like an over the top. Like, did you ever read that that piece of email that got circulated a few years ago? It was very viral. It was about a girl of sorority sending out an email to all her younger sorority sisters, just fucking, you know, like obliterating them, just like roasting them for like not talking to dudes
insane.
At parties. And she's like, I will cunt punt you fucking bitches. Like, she just like laced into them in the most vulgar, mean way possible because they weren't like acting cool.
Did it say cunt punt?
She invented the phrase.
That was Randy Orton's move for a while, the cunt punt.
But this woman, I forgot what her name was, but she had this viral, definitely look it up, like sorority girl, you know, viral.
No, I remember it.
Alexa Bliss is like, her character
is
that.
You sent it to me.
Probably did. Alexa Bliss's character is like, just a cranked up to a 10, like, sorority bitch.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's great. Like, I really dig it because I think sometimes when we'd say the term bitch about her, which is like probably not right, but it's kind of, it's hard to describe
mean
it
woman.
Any other way.
A mean woman.
Right,
character.
Right.
And not just in a generic way, it's a specific, and it's a character.
It's a gimmick, right? We're not calling her that. But what I'm saying is that when I say that, it makes me think of like what Nikki Bella was.
Right.
But what she's doing is better than that. It's more. It's past that.
Right.
And I think that's what it is. Like sorority C word.
It's like a mean. It's a very mean girl.
Yeah.
Like her
she's like circling
or
fat.
Like mean girl. Or like,
on,
mean
like
girls.
A girl like circles fat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
She would circle the fat on you. It's literally Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Whatever the main
Rachel
girl
McAdams.
From Rachel McAdams and Mean Girls. That's her gimmick, and she pulls it off really well. But because she's still kind of green, it was kind of funny. Not funny, but like endearing to see her break kayfabe for talking smack.
Yeah.
Almost as if like she didn't know that you weren't allowed to do that. Like, she just like went, couldn't even help it.
Yeah.
She was just like, I'm really fucking happy. My parents were there. They never saw me wrestle at WWE before. This is huge.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very touching.
All right. Let's move on. What about the Ellsworth screw job? So this, the thing about this is that I think people liked it, and I liked it also, but I saw it coming.
Yeah.
I felt like I knew that was going to happen.
I didn't, mostly because I don't watch enough SmackDown,
right.
But I watched obviously this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, man, here's the thing. That match itself was, the TLC match, was really great.
Yeah, because we got to see Styles' butt.
We got to see a little bit of the Styles crack, you know? And that was good. But the thing is this, the Styles ass.
The Styles clash.
I want to go on record in the podcast as saying this, because it's important to me that I go on record as saying this. This is the first match I've ever seen Dean Ambrose wrestle that wasn't fucking piece of shit, regardless of opponent. Like... And the heavy lifting, of course, is by AJ Styles. The guy's, I would say, probably the best in-ring performer right now and of the generation. AJ Styles is the man.
Definitely.
Dean Ambrose.
If you're all, you know, power rankings, he's number one.
Number
by
one
far.
In-ring for sure. Dean Ambrose, to me, is, out of all the main eventers or even mid-eventers, like IC and US title, the worst in-ring performer. And I genuinely despise his matches always.
Do you think he should be a top guy?
No, I don't think he has.
So you're going real harsh.
I think he's a mid-carder, and that's why I was so thrilled on SmackDown to see him vying for the IC belt,
because
that's where he belongs. The only reason I don't hate Roman Reigns right now is because they took him a little bit out of title picture for now. I mean, I know they're kind of bringing him back in, but this match was the first that I can remember, without excluding like Shield group matches, a good match that involved Dean Ambrose. It was a really great match.
Yeah.
And I think he did some of the good stuff there, too. He had some pretty good spots.
Look, this whole Ellsworth stint, I've been into Ambrose.
Right.
I think he's been pretty funny. And he gets, like, a little off track a little bit when he starts making fun of the way Ellsworth works. But when he's using Ellsworth to get at AJ,
right.
All that stuff I really liked. I thought that was good writing.
Right.
And I thought it built up, like, a really interesting heat. I think this was the moment where the Ellsworth shit jumped the shark for me a little bit. I was like, oh, okay. Now Ellsworth's like a schemer as opposed to just like a stooge.
Right.
That, to me, it was like, now the justification got me back into it.
Because they made him stooge again, a complete idiot again.
And he was just like, look, if I'm going to have a title shot, like I have AJ's number. I don't have Dean Ambrose's number.
Right.
So he's like methodical. I was like, even though he's a dummy, the fact that he had a plan there, I was like, oh, okay, I'll buy that because that's also idiotic.
Right. But the thing about Ellsworth is it's too idiotic. I will say this, like, I don't like Dean Ambrose's character. I hate his in-ring stuff, but this was a great match. I still will never like his character. It's not good enough for me. You know, just like screaming and be like, oh, you don't want none of this, bro. It's just not enough to me. Like, it's a very underdeveloped and not well thought out character.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about this before.
Although I liked the way when he came out on SmackDown and just gave
that was great.
That was great.
Yeah,
it felt very Austin-esque.
That's the thing. That moment was all. Well, Ambrose has the potential to do great things.
Yeah.
He just regularly does not do them.
Right.
But SmackDown, when he just came in, hit the double arm DDT and left, that was great. I'm not gonna give him credit when it's due, but on the whole, I find his like character like unwatchable. Like I don't like it. The Ellsworth stuff has been better, but here's the thing, Ellsworth I find unwatchable, and this is just me being an asshole. It's like, I can't look at this guy. Like, he's disgusting.
I'm sick. But that's the point, right?
I know it's the point, but also, like, you know how, like, some people think it's funny to see, like, fake vomit or, like, fake poop or something like that? But, like, some people, it makes them want to vomit, and they're sick, and they're like, oh, that's not funny, man. I don't like that shit.
Right.
That's how I feel about Ellsworth. Like, oh, that's not funny. It's gross. Get him out of here. Like, he's disgusting.
How do you feel about when they make fun of his chin?
Well,
do you think it's fucked up?
Well, that's the next thing I want to say, is that it's also fucked. Like, how does this guy take all this abuse? Like, it sucks. I noticed for the first time that he also has a tongue ring. That's disgusting.
I've never seen that.
Ellsworth has a tongue ring. Guys, if you're listening to the podcast, look for it. I noticed it on Talking Smack. He's got a fucking tongue ring, adding to his disgustingness.
Wow.
But I hate on Howard Stern, like the whack pack.
That's what I was just going to make the comparison.
And
we're in Sirius XM Studios right now.
And I'm not
it's
a PC guy.
It's very off-brand for you.
Look, I'm not a PC guy. I'm going to say retarded right now.
Yeah.
I don't like it when people make fun of retarded people. Okay,
right.
It's not a PC thing.
You're trying to defend mentally challenged people.
But then also use
the word retarded.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a PC thing. It's not something, hey, it's wrong to mock. I'm not saying it's because I'm PC. I don't give a shit. I love saying the word retarded. I'm going to continue to use it on this podcast. I hope no one gets mad.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Will I get in trouble for this? Will
Probably.
I get Billy Bush?
I think you're going to get Billy Bush. You're going to get bushed hard. I just don't like it because it's cheap and like easy and like just a fucking low hanging fruit. It's like a lowest common denominator comedy. And it's like insulting to me as a fan where it's like, this is Dean Ambrose's big contribution, like stooging out this guy who's clearly like disgusting and like not an athlete. It's like, it's fucking beneath me. I think it's too lowbrow.
Yeah.
So that's my feeling on the whole Ellsworth thing.
But I think like the whole Ellsworth thing, the writing was really good where like they gave him matches and like they definitely were like whack packing him out. There's no way around it. I brought it up right away.
Right.
Like no chin music. Everyone thinking that's funny without thinking for a second that like this guy clearly had like a surgery and it might've been a traumatic thing for him or something.
Or congenital defect or something like that.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, I've heard him in interviews and he seems like really stoked to be there and like
and why
happy to play
be?
Along. And like,
why
and like also he's legitimately getting like title shots.
Yeah.
Like, no, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't think Stern's done anything for the people coming to the show like this. Like he's signed to WWE.
Yeah. No, I know.
Like,
look,
Howard doesn't even pay the Whack Packers, right?
I'm sure they get paid something and they get like appearance things for other things they'll do because they're on Howard. But that's the thing.
But he's getting paid to be on the show.
I know. But when Ellsworth turned on Ambrose, I was hoping that the writing would be, he was like, yo, man, I'm not your fucking stooge. Like, you're making fun of me every week like I'm some piece of shit.
Yeah, that I agree. That's the better way
to go. That would have been more vindicating to me.
Yeah, I like that.
And it helped the whole storyline. But instead, he's just like, a complete dunce through and through, where it's like, yeah, I'll beat AJ, so no hard feelings. Yeah. Shake my hand, bro. We're still bros. We go way back. It's like, ah, that's dumb again, you know?
Yeah. But I like that. And he was just like, since I became this company, you all laughed at me. Yeah. You made fun of my chin, but like, I'm a wrestler. I've trained, because he's actually trained.
And then he could say, like, his shit, like, any man with two hands has a fighting chance or whatever. Like, he could say that.
Yeah. You know? And he's like, I don't have the strength, but I got the timing.
Yeah.
You know? What if timing's his thing?
He's Mr. Money in the Bank without the briefcase.
All right, yeah. So anyway, I mean, that's the major stuff from the pay-per-view that we should talk about. The Miz Ziggler match was great.
Yeah.
Miz retained. Miz had a clean win over Ziggler.
Yeah.
I mean, I was hoping Ziggler would win. Look,
it clean? Didn't he kick him in the dick like three times?
Oh, yeah.
That's how he won.
But he didn't do it with Maurice.
It's a no DQ kind of match.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
It's fair game, but.
That is true. He did. He kicked him in the dick on the ladder.
It's actually a pretty awesome finishing spot to just like whale someone in the dick a couple times.
I was hoping Ziggler would win because I think Ziggler. I would like to see him have like a nice long IC run and get something on his belt. And I would like to see Miz graduated up.
Well, look, firing on all cylinders. This guy's doing such great work.
Hot argument right now. Yeah. Ready? Power rankings, 1, AJ, 2, yeah. I'm putting Miz.
You're saying power rankings including just overall.
I'm just saying everybody who is performing at max capacity.
Is this just on the SmackDown roster because we're talking TLC?
No, I'm talking about the whole roster. I put Miz number 2.
Number 2.
I think since Maurice has came back, I just think he's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, even down to the suit he wears. He was wearing a suit on SmackDown that had a brooch connected to a brooch.
Very
on
cool.
The,
very cool.
On the suit.
It was like the Janet Jackson nose ring connected to earring from the
Velvet Rope.
From the Velvet Rope album. Yeah, it was he had like a tie brooch that connected to his pocket brooch with a little chain, like a conductor's chain.
All right, here's another thing. Maurice comes out. She fucking looks awesome.
She's a straight 10.
He looks awesome. They look amazing.
He's a 10.
They look like men want to be them and women want to whatever, you know?
They're gorgeous. They're
every expression in whatever gender configuration you want it.
Cis men want to be them. Out. Trans women want to do them.
Also, one of the stars of wrestling right now, number 3, is the screen floor on the entrance ramp.
That's power ranking number 3.
That's number 3.
I'm with it. I'm with you on that. Because
so they come out and then it makes when they like embrace each other, and as that happens, they do like a not bird's eye, but a close to like a 90, high angle,
a high angle shot,
and they put them in like a red square, and then. A graphic comes out that's a red carpet that goes down, and then they don't walk till it shows up. They used to have the actual red carpet, but now it's just
too
like
expensive. We could do it digitally. We'll add it in post.
Yeah, fuck it. We'll do it live.
Yeah.
But and then they walked out to the ring. It was amazing. All right, that I loved. The participation award.
So funny.
It was
great.
And I knew he was going to say it.
So fucking great.
There's been so many.
That's a weird thing, man. It's very strange. It's very strange when wrestling actually. This is my big argument with wrestling. I watch it, and you watch it, and it's bad. Like, it's not awful, but, like, it's never amazing. Like, that's why you
watch
it.
That's your whole theory on wrestling. Wrestling is bad.
Yeah, wrestling's bad, but that's why I watch it, because then when it's good, it's so worth it. It's like Game of Thrones, the first few seasons, I don't give a fuck about them, right? But then on that fourth or fifth season, when you have 30 hours of context, these things matter. They mean things, you know? Same thing with wrestling. Nothing has more context than wrestling, because it's nonstop every week, week after week. So every once in a while, something is the sum of all its parts. Like when Daniel Bryan won at WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
That had so much story and context behind it that the good was so fucking good. But think about how much fucking awful shit got us there with, like, Batista winning the fucking Rumble and Daniel Bryan joining the Wyatt family for a little bit. All this, like, weird meandering fucking nonsense that you had to sit through.
Yeah, I think about your theory a lot, and there's validity to it. And the times where it pops in my head is when somebody comes into my house and I have wrestling on, and then they sit there to watch for like 10 minutes or whatever. They're there, and they'll be watching, and I'm just like, this part's bad. this is bad. Like, I love it, but I'm like, okay.
But that's a great point. It's very hard to turn someone on to wrestling that doesn't want to be on to wrestling. It's not something you just, like, pop on, and they're like, wow, holy shit, this is great. That's not what's happening.
Okay, fine.
But the point I want to say is... But Miz is actually the good stuff right now. And when you see Miz hand out a participation award, you could show that to anybody, and they'd be like, yo, that's fucking
good.
As
a matter of fact, when I was watching that, I was with my little brother, who's a casual watcher.
Casual fan.
And he loved it. You know, and like I always use that as a gauge. And that's why I bring Wadowski on the show sometimes, because he's like a true Cash fan.
And also for his bass, his very bass voice.
And for his bass, So just so the ladies can sit, people can sit on the speaker.
another Stern style.
Anyway, so, all right. Wait, back to, oh man, so much to say. But by the way, we say wrestling's bad. I also want to follow it up with this quick thing is that Game of Thrones also and wrestling has the concept of universe.
Yeah.
They create the concept of universe where it doesn't matter if it's good or bad. You're in the universe.
You're creating a universe. Sometimes you have to do work to build.
Right. Like, I'm going to enjoy Rogue One no matter what. Anyway, so here's another thing I like about Miz, and it's very on brand for this podcast.
Yeah.
It's like, he's definitely jacked. He's definitely a jacked dude.
Especially for him. Like, if you saw him in person, obviously be huge, but
he's definitely a jacked dude, but there's times where he, like, bends a little, and, you know, he's got a little belly fat.
Yeah, a little.
You know what I mean? He's got, like, a little, but, like, it works for his character in a way where I don't want this guy to be in perfect shape.
Right.
I want him to be in, like, pretty good shape.
Right.
Because he cheats to win.
Right.
He like, calls himself a Hollywood star, but he's like, you know, I like that thing. It's like he's a little bit out of shape, but he's like a star. I don't know.
Yeah.
Small thing that I really dig that, like, when he wrestles Ziggler, he's like a little fat.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy because Ziggler's in, like, peak condition.
Well, Ziggler's so ripped.
That's great.
Yeah. And Ziggler, I don't know. I hope they find good things for him. All right. Anyway, like, we have to get into Raw right now.
We just got to do a 10-minute blast through everything that happened on Raw.
So Raw. All right. So here's the important shit.
Yeah.
Sasha and Charlotte are going to fight again at Roadblock.
It's enough already. She's already a 3-time champ. It's like, look, they're just going to keep dialing. I think by the year's end, they're both be 6-time champs.
Yeah.
It's an exaggeration, of course. But yeah, Roadblock is...
Well, they're both 3-time champs, right?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Sasha's 2-time champ?
No, I think she's 3-time.
No, she's 3, and then is Charlotte 4?
I don't know. I think
it's 3-3.
3-3, yeah.
Yeah, and so they're 3-3. They're going to have another one. Keep in mind, Charlotte has never lost at a pay-per-view.
I think I like Charlotte better than Sasha, period. I think you do, too.
I do, too, yeah.
One thing I noticed about Charlotte, if you remember her promos earlier on, like, she seemed a little uneasy and, like, got overly emotional. Like, she actually, you know, like, it was like, wow, this is taking a lot out of her.
You could see the face, like, you could see, like, Ashley coming through.
Right, but now she's able to harness that stuff.
She's really good.
She's able to, like, use the emotion and cut some fucking major promos. Like, she is incredible on the mic now. She taps into her emotions in a way that I don't think any other performer on the roster, period, does. Like, male or female.
Except for Ric Flair.
Not on the roster. He's just leaking.
And what about Foley?
Foley's great.
Dials it one. He goes zero to 1,000.
Foley is one of the greatest psychological masterminds of all time in wrestling history.
Yeah, well, he is based off Hannibal Lecter. Never forget.
But Charlotte Flair is able to do things with her emotions on those promos that no one else can do. Even just watch her crying when she saw Rick center the ring hold up Sasha's hand when Sasha won the belt.
Yeah.
That, like, how many tears can you fucking throw out? Like, she is going to an 11 of emotions. It's incredible to see.
I kind of just enjoy that they're, like, doubling down on the Sasha Charlotte thing. They're just, like, going all in on it.
They're the two best female wrestlers.
And I love the thing that, like, they even said it this week. It's like, they both, like, elevate each other.
Sure.
You know, they said, like, iron sharpens iron. Like, that metaphor is what I like, where they have, like, a Batman-Joker relationship.
Yeah.
You know? So, I dig that. I'm excited to see this match. Like, Iron Man matches historically are pretty dope.
Yeah, I mean, these two...
Sasha and Bayley had one, right?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sasha and Charlotte, any match you put them in, I'm looking forward to it. So I'm fine to keep that feud going.
Yeah, what did you think of the Flair with apology segment?
Great. It was great. It was really great. The fake apology, she apologizes and says, fuck you again.
You knew she was going to do it, but I just thought her delivery was, like, really good.
That's what I'm saying.
Flair cried right away. I mean, Rick Eastman, he's still amazing,
dude. It's like in fighting, you know, in real fighting, once you get that, like Chuck Liddell, once you get started to get knocked out, you just got a glass jaw. Even if you had a hard chin, now you have a glass jaw. Like, now any punch will knock you out. Flair, like, once you just can cry, he just got cracked open emotionally. Now anything.
I think he cried a little early.
You blow on him too hard and, like, tears just start streaming down this guy's face.
One of my little peeves was that when Sasha ran into the ring, she jumped into the ring, like, in a way where it's like, all right, you know, you're gonna just get attacked immediately. Like, it wasn't any kind of strategy.
Yeah.
It wasn't very tactical.
We're running out of time, and so I think that you're not going to cover this, so I just feel the need to say this right now.
Yeah.
Were you going to talk about Enzo and Lana?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
We'll go into that right now.
Terrible. This is so insulting to me as a human being that this is on television.
Okay, go on.
It's fucking disgusting. I imagine if I'm a woman, I'd want to vomit. Yeah. Like, it's so from 50 years ago. Like, it's just like, I'm a sexy lady. Come to my hotel room, tee-hee-hee. And he's like, all right, bro, I'm going to get some pussy. It's going to be dope. And I'm like, why is this on television? This is fucking shitty. Yeah. And then it was just handled awful. The one thing I like about this stuff is that now that Tap Out is with WWE, you see Rusev just wearing like athletic clothes, and then he just looks like my brother. Like, I just feel like my brother, because my brother looks exactly like Rusev and
does look a lot like
Rusev. So now if he shows up with like a sleeveless Tap Out shirt, I'm like, oh, my brother's on TV. Oh, that's not my brother.
That's the only thing you like about
Everything else is a fucking nightmare.
So that segment when I was watching, I was like, at first I was like, this is so misogynistic. Yeah. Like, just being like, you know, and then Enzo's been, oh my God.
Yeah,
like,
ooh, what
got a hot dick in here. Oh man! But by the end of it, I actually came around on it. I like the way it was shot. I thought like the last thing where he's beating the shit out of Enzo in that hotel room was shot really well and looked pretty brutal.
I think that beating was great because that was some pretty good looking furniture. It was either real or like high end breakable furniture.
Either way, he threw him into that wall two times. Where you're like, there's no way that didn't hurt a lot.
The beatdown was cool.
Yeah.
And one thing I loved is that like Enzo was kind of disrobing. He was in his underwear. He had kind of a half chub actually when he took his underwear off at first. But then Rusev beats him up and then throws him out of the hotel room, and then his clothes is still inside the hotel room. So like those shoes are like $200, those Nikes, those Jordans.
Yeah, well, he dragged him out so easily.
I mean, he's tiny. And
then Alana switched the hotel thing to like disturb. Do not disturb. Like they're gonna
now go fuck him.
Liked it.
I said
the only way to redeem that segment was for Alana to be like messing with Enzo, because the way they were treating her was like,
the only way to redeem that segment honestly is for Lana to be messing with Rusev. She was like, look, so now you know, glad you beat this guy up, but look, stop treating me like fucking shit, because I'll do whatever the fuck I want. I'll make you crazy. Like, I'll do shit that's gonna piss you off.
Yeah,
like if it was if she was like this master manipulator doing all this shit, but it wasn't. It was just nonsense.
Yeah.
And I don't need it. And to be honest, I love Lana. She's doing great work. I love Rusev. Does great work for that character. But having a romantic angle thing flying around,
it barely works.
It does not work.
Yeah.
Remember when Ziggler was in that triangle? Yeah. Like, it ruins shit.
It almost never works. I actually think Lana, I almost think she could drop the accent at this point. I know that's a hot take, but I know we're at time, but you know, I know it's a hot take, but I just think at this point, like, authenticity is what always rises. Right, what makes Miz and Maryse work so well is that they're actually a married couple with like a kid.
Right.
And like, I've heard Miz in real interviews talk about like how much he loves his wife. And like, you're like, oh man, they'll do anything for each other. When it's like Lana's just doing a fake accent, but they're actually married.
Yeah.
I just, at this point, I'm like, I think it was cool at first. Now it's like, she's even on the reality show using her regular voice
from what
I hear.
Right.
So
funny.
I don't know.
I will also want to go on record saying Big Cass is unwatchable. I can't watch. I can't do anything.
Well, one thing I liked is Cass figured it out in ring.
Oh no.
He's like, I need a phone. It was like a movie, and it was shot like a movie. Kind of dug it.
Guys are just stooge.
I actually dug it. All right. So, cool. Moving on. So, all right, so we'll get into the Rollins, Kevin Owens, all that. We'll lump all that in.
I mean,
so Rollins, I liked it being like, I want Triple H. We gotta like acknowledge that. But then I was just like, I want Triple H. Awesome, we're gonna get into that. Then it's like, I want Triple H. The way to get to Triple H is by beating Kevin Owens and getting the title, right? Because he wants Kevin Owens the title, and he's like, the only way to get to Kevin Owens is by first taking out Chris Jericho. I was like, that's quite a walk, Rollins.
But all right, I mean, the architect, sure, man.
That's fine, man.
Jericho's the man. He's doing great work still. I love what's going on. He's almost making Owens look like not that cool. Like, he's looking better than Owens on the mic, but Owens is obviously the fucking man.
It's distracting from Owens' run, but Owens is having such good matches that if you can't appreciate it, then
weird that a Zayn Owens match. I feel like they should
save
those.
That was a waste.
They should save those for sure. Zayn's kind of on the burner, not really knowing what they're doing with him. And then what else fucking happened? Here's the worst part. This is getting my blood boiling.
It's about, I know what you're saying.
Roman Reigns
kicking
back
out of Chris Jericho's finisher.
Yeah, I hate that.
So now we're creeping into, he had a clean win over Owens the other week, and now we're creeping back into a power-up Roman Reigns season.
I can't take it, man. I fucking hate Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
The only way he's tolerable to me is you just keep him at the U.S. level or smaller. keep them for kids and get them the fuck off my TV screen.
But dude, imagine if Jericho won the U.S. title right there. That would have been awesome.
Happened. That's what should have happened.
The best friends had the titles together. And then like, Reigns doesn't need the U.S. title.
Right.
He's not doing anything with it.
Oh, man, it's a complete de-elevation of that title. Jericho winning the U.S. title and then him and Owen still beefing with each other would have been really, really awesome. There's no harm in powering up Jericho with a win over a big guy like Reigns. Like, that would have been great, but they got to just keep Reigns untouchable. I hate it. Look, his matches are fine, but the minute he opens his mouth, he is unlikable. He is an unlikable person. Even if it was a heel, he'd be unlikable. He's just like an unwatchable performer with zero charisma, and I hate it.
Okay. So, all right. I only have a couple more things.
His outfit's terrible.
I think they're worth their time. So you actually hit all of it. It's like Kevin Owens. He's fighting Sami Zayn. The reason he was wrestling Sami Zayn, they said before the show, he went and asked Mick Foley for a match against Strowman, and then Kevin Owens interrupted that, and that's why Kevin Owens got the match. You're like, what? That's all right. Anytime Kevin Owens wrestles Sami Zayn, we should see the origin of that, because that's big deal.
Yeah, I thought that was just what I saw because I was on Hulu watching the 90-minute version.
Yeah,
but if that's how they did it on the live show, that's insane. When we live in a world where when fucking Stephanie shows up in a car in the garage, they give us a segment about it. Like, why can't they give us a segment when a match gets booked between two huge stars?
Yeah. All right, last thing. This is not worth being the last thing.
Let's make it a huge
deal. All right, last thing is, Corey Graves continues to be a really good announcer.
Okay.
A really good heel announcer. One thing, he called out TJ Perkins for retweeting compliments about him.
Yeah.
As a negative.
Right.
Just being like, TJ Perkins, he's a retweeter of compliments. Anytime someone writes a compliment, he retweets it.
That's really funny.
That's an amazing knock on TJ Perkins.
I don't like Corey Graves, but he's becoming a good announcer. Like, I thought he was an unlistenable announcer in NXT, and he's actually like a very good heel announcer now. So I got him credit. But like, I look at him and I'm like, nah, bro, I don't like you.
Yeah.
His hair is too plastic helmety, and he always keeps his hands in a little prayer stance. Like,
I notice his
gesture is he goes together like a prayer and then back out, together like a prayer and back out, and it's a little bit weird. And he unbuttons his shirts too much. Don't like his neck tattoo.
But okay,
that's great. And I know you mentioned this on your podcast before. You must have.
Yeah.
But he also called David Otunga Jennifer husband.
Yeah.
And that is the best moniker I've ever heard.
Yeah,
in wrestling.
Yeah.
He's all right. Corey Graves is okay in my book.
He said a line one day that somebody said something that he couldn't refute, and he was like, I begrudgingly agree with that. Anyway, I like that. All right. So to wrap it up, ding dong, the witch's champ. That was Alexa Bliss's line. The one little thing, never rehearse the first line you're going to say when you win a belt. Right. It never goes right. It always comes off too rehearsed.
Right.
Just be natural.
For all the wrestlers listening who are on the verge of their championship.
Congratulations to Alexa Bliss. I'm sure somebody can cover. Are you excited to watch Cena host SNL?
Absolutely. That's the one thing. That's the most exciting part about it. Look,
I bother people I know to get his tickets?
Yeah.
Or should we watch from home and just?
I'm just fine with anything.
Okay.
But we definitely need to watch it.
I hate asking for favors.
All right, well, hey, if you're listening to this podcast, Dan doesn't like asking for favors. If you have access to SNL tickets for Cena hosting, just give it to him. Don't make him ask.
Yeah, great. All right, Shabs, you want to plug anything? You want to plug your Twitter?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Shabiro, S-H-E-B as in Bravo, I-R-O. You can listen to my radio show, not podcast, but actual national radio show on SiriusXM Channel 99, Thursdays at 3:30. It's called The Raw Report.
Yeah, listen to that. You can follow me on Twitter at DBlackAttack. Follow us. Join our Facebook group, Comedians of Wrestling Facebook group. We post in there. We have a lot of fun. And rate and subscribe to the podcast and keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.